Welcome back to the Public Relations Podcast. I'm doing this today as a bit of a special episode because I wanted to share something with you from a spin-off project of the Public Relations Podcast. And it is called PR Bites. And as a subscriber to the show, I'm sure you've heard me talk many times about various projects I'm trying to do to sort of support the podcast. Well, PR Bites is part of PR Break, which is one of those. And there's a lot of content going into that. And I thought you'd like to hear some of it. So I'm actually going to give you a full episode from that today, and I'm talking about things like Ryan Reynolds, the Hollywood actor, the movie actor, talking about his marketing techniques and how they can be applied on a budget, talking about a big threat to crisis comms, and a whole bunch more as well, interactive stuff too. To give you a bit of background, PR Bites is in effect a daily podcast that I'm now doing, running Monday to Thursday each week, which is focused on the individual in comms rather than the organization or the agency. It's focused on the person who's actually doing a work. So it's about approaches to campaigns, but when they're affected by the boss or the client saying, we don't have enough budget at the moment. Or maybe it's to do with when you get out of bed and you get out the wrong side of bed that day, or you're just not in the mood, or your brain isn't working. It's the strategies that are about helping you as a person within this organization actually achieve the results. It's focused on you rather than the organization itself. So I'm going to put a post on LinkedIn about this. But I mean, to kind of sum it up, in my experience, comm success is really only about 50% technique. The rest of it is about the person. And that is what I want to try and focus on here. Now, this episode, as I say, is part of a membership, but you can now read it, or you can read about 75% of the content that goes into this for free, because I've started doing a written version, a newsletter version, which I actually pressed publish on just a few minutes ago today at the start of this week on, what are we currently, the 6th of May. If you would like to subscribe to that written version, then you can certainly do that. But go to thepublicrelationspodcast.com, thepublicrelationspodcast.com, go to the subscribe page, and then make sure you sign up to PR Bites. If you're already a member of the main mailing list, try saying that while you've had a few drinks, then you want to make sure that you are signed up to PR Bites, and it will add you to that list as well. So if you would like to get a written version of what you're about to hear, then you can sign up for that. And if you'd like to get a full video and listen to it as well, then you'll get all the details from the newsletter about how you can do that too. Right. Let's get on with the episode. It's about, I think it's about 13 minutes long, but it's packed with stuff, as you are about to find out. A very good morning to you. It is Monday morning. Welcome to a new week and to prbreak.com and to our daily update. If you're joining us for the first time, to give you an idea about what I'm going to be going through today, what can we learn from Ryan Reynolds, the movie star, and his sponsorship of a relatively unknown soccer club in the UK? Some things to remember if you're planning events in 2024. How online bots could be one of the biggest threats in crisis comms in the future, and a new weekly scenario where we're going to try and save a sea turtle this week. I'm going to be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that. So first of all, a very good morning to you. I hope you are getting ready for a new exciting week. But let's start off by talking about Ryan Reynolds, because he is such a good marketer. Now, I'm sure you've heard about him. He is, of course, the Hollywood movie star. And what he did was he purchased a struggling soccer team in Wales in the UK called Wrexham. The team was, I mean, relatively unknown outside of football fans, obviously, and certainly if you live in other parts of the world. And if you don't know English soccer or the English soccer world, then it's very much a grassroots sport. You know, it's about ordinary people. It's about the community focused on their local sports team that they go and watch every Saturday and support their local squad. And here in comes this Hollywood movie star and buys the team. But Ryan, unlike so many others, you know, like it was the Glazier brothers, wasn't it, that bought Manchester United, which was a big team. He didn't come in and just buy a big team that was already winning and just try and get some more out of it. What he did was that he went and looked at an underdog club that were trying to work their way up. Now, being Ryan Reynolds, unlike many of the rest of us, he was able to get a TV show made about this too. But I still think there are some really powerful things that he did which can be applied across the board to whatever campaign you are running. So let's have a look at those. That's three, I think, are the main elements. Number one is the underdog appeal. You know, the allure of the underdog. It's central to the narrative of the show that he's doing on social media and the whole campaign around it. The team's struggles and their kind of their journey through injuries and defeats, it all adds to the drama and the appeal. It's much more interesting than just having a successful team increasing by 1%, by 2%. This is about taking an underdog team and getting them to transform themselves, to move up through the leagues and to achieve success. So we like that kind of thing. We like to hear where they're, they're losing their temper, where they're having setbacks and making progress. We love the story of struggle. It's something that naturally engages with us. So it's going to be far more engaging than that top level club. But there's also, you know, a lot more to this, as I say. Next one you want to look at is like the community engagement. And this, the emphasis that he clearly has directed within the content here on the local community. And this is helping them to relate to that local community and engage them by showcasing real people. So, for example, there's like a shot in just in the trailer for the show of like the local marching band marching through the town. It's not even directly to do with football. It's just kind of the local marching band who are going through it. You've got kids discussing their passion for the team. And then finally, and I think this one is really important, something that I think you can take advantage of as well, is that, yes, you've got Ryan Reynolds here, who is this Hollywood movie star, but he's coming in and he's being humbled and educated by the community. I think this is summed up, and I can't remember the exact line he said, but this kind of sums it up. He said in one of the trailers, he said, people expected to see a documentary about us changing Wrexham, but it was actually Wrexham that changed us. Now, immediately, we're going to feel a sense of, oh, this is awesome. You know, he cares about us. He loves us. We are important. So this approach is making ordinary people, us, feel valued and important. So what can you do in terms of applying this to your own organization if you're not a Hollywood movie star? Because I'm assuming that most people watching and listening to this are probably not that. Well, let's take three examples, which I always like to do. First one, let's take a solar panel company who provides solar panels to the world's governments or to huge industries, where the CEO, not an engineer, but the CEO goes around to someone's house, a small residential house, and helps them install solar power on their house. You know, we follow the project and, you know, they're hands-on. They're actually screwing in stuff. And then we see the results and you see them discuss the environment as they're going on through it. And then the CEO's talking about how they're doing it on the big stuff. The person in the ordinary house is talking about how they want to improve the environment just on a local level as well. And all finishes off with a big handshake at the end, of course, all via your social media. But as I say in a moment, I think this can go much further than that. You obviously want to make sure that, you know, you are recording the screws falling out of the hands or not being able to get the panel on right at first, just to make it human and to make it engaging. Now, the same could be done, just take it like this second example I thought of was a wealth management fund for billionaires, where the CEO goes around and helps a struggling family, an ordinary family, sort out their finances. You know, with the wealth manager going, oh my gosh, you can't do that. You know, you think about these sort of home development shows. And you've got some expert who's talking about billions of dollars that they're normally working with, helping some ordinary family with, you know, $1,000 or $500 or whatever currency you're in, to actually do something with their own money. Now, you obviously want to avoid people flocking to your company to sort of say, oh, please do that for me too. So you can make it part as a community initiative where the firm is helping out in their local area to be part of the community. Third one I thought of was a fashion chain, right? The designer. So some top designer goes round to someone's house who is a hobbyist clothes maker. You know, you can find these people who are buying patterns online for making clothes at home. There's still people that like enjoy doing that. And then spending a few hours together discussing ideas, showing a passion for designing clothes. But what you've got here is this kind of highbrow clothes designer with this ordinary person, one of us. And you want to catch that moment when someone cuts something too far, it all falls to the floor. Sharing that passion for clothes. Now, as I say, all this can be done on social media. As a story over time, segmenting it out, making a narrative, and it's going to make some really great content that other people can use too. Because what you're doing here is you are making a new story. You're not just creating a little hit on social, which everyone's done before. You're making a narrative. You're making something engaging. And when you create stuff like this, not only are other content creators likely to be interested in it in that particular space, you've also got your trade press who are probably going to be interested in it too because it's a quirky story. You've got local media, you've got local content creators, you've probably got much bigger influencers and content creators who'd be interested in it as well because it's an interesting story. And you could even get something like that potentially on like daytime TV or even breakfast morning TV as well. But let's look at those crucial elements again. We're talking about the underdog. You know, the plucky, salt of the earth, real people, the challenge of trying to climb up. A top professional, slightly elevated, where we're kind of awestruck that they would visit us. I mean, everyone's ordinary people, but, you know, we do have this kind of perception of people, oh, they've achieved so much and they're coming to visit me. The fact that they love talking to that person as well, I think is really important to show on it as well. And then however it comes out of it at the end, you want to show how this elevated person has taken something back from the community, has learned something from that ordinary person, has learned something from that local area. You know, X had a really good point that I'm going to take back when I'm designing the next range for next year on the Paris catwalk, whatever it is like that. You can see the content being created here. And as usual with these ideas, they can often sound big. But if you think about it, with a mobile phone, you could film this stuff quite easily. And you could be engaging other media and getting them involved in it too and excited about this particular story, providing you've got that narrative development. Right, that is the giant killing idea for today. Let's talk about a few other things. Let's start off with today's challenge. How do you stand out when you're regularly trying to pitch a content creator with new ideas? And the answer is by not pitching an idea. By not pitching an idea. Say that again, I laugh as I say it. Most content creators get pitched ideas all day long. You want to simply try engaging with them on something personal instead. So here's today's challenge to build some social credit with them. Spend 5 minutes checking your contacts list for someone you would value remaining connected to. Then remember or find one personal thing they like. Just look through their feed, see what they've been commenting about. Then message them and say something about it. So like, I saw this article recently that it was connected to that. Or we did this the other day ourselves, actually. Or I saw you did that. Do you have some advice about that? Something that is totally unconnected with what you are normally pitching. Message them and ask them how it went. And tell us on the messenger below within the PR Break website what you found by doing that. I would be interested to know because I bet, maybe not everyone's going to, but I bet some people are going to find that you're going to be able to connect with people that you haven't spoken to for a long time or at least build a bit of social credit with them. When you pitching next time, it all helps to do that. Okay, let's have a look at another couple of quick stories that I've spotted. If you plan to do an event expo with a stand or some sort of experience, then there are two things I spotted from the coverage of the recent Experiential Marketing Summit in Las Vegas, USA. The coverage was in eventmarketer.com, which I do love the stuff they do because they really come up with some really interesting insights into things. So check out their website. But there were two things, as I say. Firstly, it was an interesting point from Marcy Lane from Fujifilm, who pointed out that what you do to attract people at a local community event is going to be very different to what you do at some kind of trade expo. And she said, you can't just get into one mindset. You know, people in shopping malls are in a purchasing mindset. They're in a shopping mindset, whereas someone going to a festival or a concert is going to be attracting a younger crowd who's passionate about music. Community events, like the idea of kind of bringing people together, it's about connection. It's about connecting with your community. So what is the mindset of the people at the event you're going to be displaying at? Then match the experience you make to reflect where they are to reduce resistance to where you're trying to take. You know, if they're not in the mood for what you're doing, they're not going to engage. The second point is about measurement. You know, I've spoken about this before. I've been to too many events where I have no idea why the stand was even there or what message I was meant to take away from it. And Wendy Rubino from Warner Brothers Pictures said that finance people now want numbers, and rightly so. So what they mean by that is that right now, obviously with Google Ads and stuff like that, you can look at engagement, you can look at eyeballs, you can look at impressions. You can get that data straight up. Now, events are expensive. They're always going to be expensive. So when you look at the budget, are you getting back more than you spend? Can you look at that data and say, I have got this return on investment? You're looking basically to deliver the same figures, she was saying, as you're doing with online advertising, online marketing. So how can you gather that data? What do you need to quantify success and to quantify that return on investment? Okay, let's move on to this week's scenario. Just very quickly recapping last week's scenario. 62% of you said the most important thing when a campaign goes viral. This was about our self-inflating tire story last week with our cycle firm, is to keep focused on the core campaign message as things start to go wrong. Is that what you're doing? Is it supporting bringing things back to the narrative or is it losing track? You know, we were talking about when a viral campaign just goes, explodes and just goes too big. How do you keep control of it and things like that? So most people said the most important thing is to keep focused on what is that core message and make sure that everything is trying to support it or bring it back to this week's scenario. Here's a new challenge for you. Take a breath for a moment. There's loads of stuff here. So imagine this, right? You've been tasked to help a small nonprofit focused on endangered species to get donations coming in. And the charity rescues animals around the world with a particular focus on sea turtles in this particular case. And there's quite a few people in this space, obviously, with animals. So what would you do? Will you choose? Let me take it back. So this organization put out a marketing campaign recently and it completely flopped. They didn't get any new donations. They didn't get any interest. So you've been brought in to try and sort this out. So this is where the situation we're at. So what are you going to do? Will you choose to tell a heartwarming story of an individual animal currently being saved using the hashtag SaveBertie to foster a deeper emotional connection? Or do you boost your campaign's visibility, the existing one, with significant increase in advertising spending to try and get some immediate results? Could be either. What would you do? That's the question. I'd love to know. Let me know by voting a little bit further down on theprbreak.com so that we can get a roundup of the scores and your opinions tomorrow. Quick one about someone I've been talking to. It was actually yesterday. I was discussing with a cybersecurity firm owner, experienced in marketing and crisis communications. He's done PR and stuff in the past. But we were talking about the increase in bots and misinformation and a notable rise in the speed of which this is being done, because modern tools are enabling people that want to criticize the organization to broadcast this criticism really, really fast, magnifying this kind of potential damage really, really quickly. And this isn't just about larger entities anymore. It's about smaller ones too, because the technology is getting a lot easier to do. And what we're talking about here and why this is different is that in the past, someone could obviously tweet one tweet. It'd say something negative about what you're doing. But with the power of this technology, you're now getting these bots, and they're pretty significant, the number of them out there, he was telling me, that can then generate conversations between each other, which seem authentic. And this was a difference from the past where you could kind of spot a bot because it wasn't, you know, it was very fake or it had a formulaic way of doing it, who can be generating these conversations that can get an issue trending within minutes on social platforms, which is being pushed by people that want to criticize your organization. It's quite scary. It raises some real questions about crisis comms. And I'm actually, when I was speaking to him, I said, let's get you on the show. Let's do a recording about this. So he's going to be on the podcast very soon. What have I got else for you today? We're nearly done, actually. But I wanted to talk about something to do with mindset. I always like talking about this because I think it is really interesting because, you know, so much of comms is not just about the textbook stuff. It's not just about techniques. It's about the person delivering it. So being in the right headspace can make such a difference to success. So anyway, here's a technique that I've learned from someone that I thought I would share today. And this technique is about generating a connection with whatever campaign you are doing. Because the more we are emotionally invested in it, the more we're going to deliver it, the better we're going to pitch it, and the better we're going to come up with it with a story that resonates with people who are interested. So this is the technique, okay? So if you think about a campaign that you are currently working on, or maybe one that's coming up soon, if you think about it for just a second, all right, just try and get it in mind. Now try to find something in that that relates to you personally. Maybe it does it automatically. Maybe you're immediately involved in it, or it's a campaign or something like that. But if not, just think for something that is personally relevant to you. And what I mean by that is that it's something that goes beyond your job or something you have to do because you're required to do it, or it's whatever you're being paid to or asked to do. And think about how this relates to your family or to your partner or to your children, your mum or your dad, a relative. Have a think about that for a moment. Just think, how does this relate to me personally? Not something I just care about, but how it resonates actually directly with the people closest to me. Can you think of something? You got it? Okay. And then find just one thing about this story that relates to your personal life experience, and not just your family this time, but to you yourself. Something that resonates with you, why it matters to you personally. Not just because you care about others, but because of yourself, because of your own internal needs, your own internal values. Because when you find that, when you find that connection, that's where you find the motivation. Don't forget, if you want to reach out on any of these ideas or discuss any of these ideas, to just scroll down there, reach out to the messenger section. We'd love to discuss any kind of campaign stuff you're doing or any thoughts you are having on there too. Let me finish with a quick motivational quote for the day. It is down to you to write the script for how today is going to turn out. It's down to you to write it. Let us know how it all goes. I'll be back with PR Bites tomorrow. Speak to you real soon. Bye.